Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Brands 228-19.
We have a unanimous Baseball Hall of Famer big game down in Iowa City tonight, as well as tomorrow night. We'll talk some wrestling and some basketball. It's all coming up here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And on the snowy southwest side of Cedar Rapids, everywhere is snowy here in eastern Iowa. We welcome you in to the Gym Class for a Wednesday on KGYM. No inquiries, but I think you know by now. Yes, there is no stopping it. Bowling Night in America goes on tonight as scheduled. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you. Kyle Mann, our producer, before he and Alex Kuhn take over at 4 o'clock, as it will be Alex and Kyle running the show today for the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn. That comes your way from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock tonight. And then we've got basketball coming your way at 7 on the FMs, 107.5, 106.3 FM. It'll be UNI taking on Southern Illinois from Carbondale in MVC men's play. And the Iowa State women with a tall task tonight, indeed, as they head down to Waco to take on the 15-1 Big 12 unbeaten number 3 rated Baylor Bears. Down in their den coming up here tonight. Hope everybody got through the snow a-okay. I think we're on the back side of things and looking better right now. But man alive, we almost have a foot of snow on the ground after these last two events.
I had to go brush off my dish in the backyard, and trotting through there, that was probably 8 or 10 inches in the backyard. And hats off to the city of Cedar Rapids. These guys did a tremendous job on the streets, not only clearing them, but at least where I've been driving, the salt and the brine on the roads make it very passable. So hats off to those.
Hats off to them.
Men and women.
Oh, absolutely. Did a great job, and they should be commended out there. And good job by the weather folks as well, because they pretty much pinpointed this one right down to the area. So
winter storm spot on?
It's winter storm spot on. Very good. Very good by everybody out there. So
winter storm Winters.
Winters or Copelman or Swales or whoever you want to throw out there. Give them all the credit in the world. I thought they did a fantastic job of forecasting that. And yeah, now we move on and I don't need any more snow for a while, especially with a sick snowblower and my back feeling very bad tonight. I wasn't going to tell the team that my back is a little iffy tonight. We'll get through bowling okay. Coming up, we're going to talk to Mark Ironside here in just a little bit. John Bonenkamp for the Burlington Hawkeye is going to join us as well as we get ready to talk some college basketball with John. College football news today. I don't believe it's been made official. In fact, I know it's not been made official yet by the University of Iowa. But according to Twitter, rumors, things like that, that Iowa could be seeing a transfer coming in out of the portal, Mark, the infamous portal out there. There are reports, including one by himself, that Arizona punter Michael Sleep Dalton is going to be punting somewhere else next year. I believe he's going to be a grad transfer. Do you go into the portal if you're a grad transfer, a senior transfer? I don't know. But anyway,
for sure. Yeah.
He is talking about one of the places he is seriously considering, and apparently this is a thing, is the University of Iowa. So could be a new punter to go into the two-headed battle that has been going on the last couple of years between Rastetter and Gersande out there.
Yeah, very interesting. And that happened a couple, 3 years ago, right? Brought in a grad transfer, and it worked out well.
I believe from one of the Central Michigan, I think it was, a couple years ago. So, yeah, we'll see how that all plays out. And, again, that is not official from the University of Iowa. That is just basically out there. And he will be the greatest Australian punter that Iowa has seen since – what was the guy's name, the infamous punter on YouTube? Kyle, help us out here. The guy that had the YouTube videos of kicking 80-yard punts, and he was
on the tip of my tongue.
He was going to be the greatest punter in the history of the Big Ten Conference, and he never, ever made it to the campus of the University of Iowa. You people know out there, let us know.
That's an M, I think.
Let us know via the text line at 319-366-1600.
Mullings.
Mullings, thank you. The Hurtinus Dr. Jewelers text line at 319-366-1600.
Beat him to the punch.
There you go.
Great memory of mine.
Thank you. It's like a steel trap out there. We're presented by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blairsbury Road and C Avenue, Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Stop on by when you're at Third Base. You're practically home, locally owned and operated. Great place to stop by after work, go out with the family, stop by on a casual drink and dinner on the weekend. We encourage you to do so. Third Base Brewery, again, at the corner of Blairsbury Road and C Avenue, Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Nothing went on last night in Eastern Iowa.
No, but a lot going on tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena with the Iowa women taking on league-leading Rutgers, inviting C. Vivian Stringer back. I was when I read the accounts today of the game, 48 seasons for C. Vivian Stringer.
Pretty amazing.
So I remember when she came from Cheney State to Iowa and built a successful Cheney State as well. But that was, I think, an NAIA program of some kind, but very successful. And, wow, 48 seasons. It's a long time to be doing that job, but she's obviously loving it and has a really good team. Iowa two games back of Rutgers, and I know really wants to get this one.
Yeah, really. Rutgers, the toast of the Big Ten right now, and certainly the surprise of the Big Ten. Not that everyone didn't have Rutgers in the upper half of the league, but I don't think anybody had them at 7-0 at this point of the season, and that's where they are. And if Iowa wants to make a run at a league championship, they need a win coming up tonight. We'll see how it all plays out down at Carver. That will begin at 7 o'clock as well. So all kinds of basketball coming up tonight. Iowa City, Waco, Carbondale, places like that. Mm-hmm. Co playing on the road tonight as well. So they've got that going. Kirkwood on the road tonight as well. 319-366-1600. We have our first unanimous baseball Hall of Famer, Mariano Rivera, the relief pitcher for the New York Yankees. After we went off the air yesterday during the show with Alex and Kyle, it was reported and it was talked about that he is the first ever unanimous Hall of Famer. That is the subject of our poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway.
It is indeed. What are your thoughts on the unanimous vote for Mariano Rivera for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame? Three choices. Finally, long overdue. Secondly, are they in or out? Total is not a big deal. Finally, no one should be unanimous. Go to KGYMradio.com, and thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Ken Griffey Jr., of course, the closest to being unanimous in 2016. He was at a little over 99%. Tom Seaver, 98, almost 99%. Nolan Ryan, the same. Cal Ripken Jr., about 98.5%. And so on and so forth. But nobody up till now unanimous.
I still can't believe Willie Mays wasn't a unanimous Hall of Famer.
Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron was just under 98%.
That's, yeah. Who knows? And it's long been talked about how perhaps antiquated the system is, or just basically the way, you know, if you did something wrong, you didn't pass the sugar right to a baseball writer back in the day, he wouldn't vote for you going into the Hall of Fame. That's been talked about for a long time. Maybe we broke the barrier last night with Mariano Rivera as far as getting unanimous guys voted into the Hall of Fame. And maybe it's not even a thing. I don't know. If you get into the Hall of Fame, you get into the Hall of Fame, right? They're not going to question it. He got in by one vote, so he's less of a Hall of Famer than, you know, Willie Mays is.
Yeah, I think we talk about it every year, and the ice has been broken here with Mariano Rivera, and I don't question it at all. I mean, I looked at his postseason statistics today. 0.70 ERA in the postseason.
That's incredible.
That's unheard of.
That is incredible.
The other inductees, Roy Halladay, Edgar Martinez, and Mike Mussina. I think the Hall of Fame voters got it right. I'm always confounded, you know, when in your first year or second year or third year you get 50%, and now all of a sudden you meet the threshold, 75%. I know it has a lot to do with, you know, who's on the ballot a certain year and whatnot, but these guys that are on the ballot for 10 years and then finally get in, I just wonder what the voters have been thinking for a while.
Well, Barry Bonds jetted up. He's getting closer and closer each year. Roger Clemens getting closer and closer each year. It's going to happen inevitably. May even happen next year. We'll see. Derek Jeter is eligible next year.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to a lot of talk today. Will Derek Jeter be the second unanimous? I don't know. Did a lot of things for baseball. People are questioning the fact that now he's in the ownership situation down in Miami and things aren't going real well down there. Does that maybe taint what he has done on the field? I don't think it should.
Had he played in Milwaukee,
oh,
what would have happened?
When he'd be in, but he wouldn't be unanimous.
Yeah.
He's a Yankee, though. He was the captain of the Yankees for many, many years and led the Yankees to all kinds of success. I got a feeling, though, I don't think Jeter's going to be a unanimous guy.
I don't think so either.
He's going to be close, but I don't think he's going to be a unanimous guy out there.
A couple texts on the Hertzian and Stocker Jeweler text line, 366-1600. Tone at 4254. Absolutely hate the Yanks. The Sandman deserved this vote. Voters finally got their heads out of their rear ends, unlike in the past, where some should have been unanimous. And who's the next coming up that you think has a chance to be unanimous?
Perhaps, well, that's a great question.
Perhaps Matt in Fairfax has the answer, 47-14, and it's a ways off. Mike Trout will be unanimous.
Well, I would say yes and no, because what if Mike Trout goes through, doesn't win a World Series, Angels don't get a sniff in the playoffs? He hasn't had a lot of playoff experience.
Mm-hmm.
Playing on the West Coast, a lot of people on the East Coast don't get a chance to see a lot of Mike Trout. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer if things continue on the trek that they are, but
hard to dispute his credentials.
Oh,
whether they're unanimous or not, I know you know that, but whether they're unanimous or not, I agree. It depends on what happens, you know, going forward here.
If Davey Martinez kept playing and got me a ticket every day, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
42-54.
Guy hit 525 when I watched.
I want Bonds and Clemens in on their last votes. They deserve to be in the steroid suspect wing. That's what kills me. I mean,
they may get in just in the regular wing.
These two are the two of the greatest players of all time and have been tainted by, and it's their own problem, the PED stigma. But I try to step back from it, and the PED thing never came up, and I'm not sure you can go down this road, but had it never came up, Bonds and Clemens would still be Hall of Famers, would they not?
Bonds, I would think so.
Bonds still would have hit between 600 and 700 home runs, I think.
Strong guy.
Clemens
was very good baseball
player. And beyond that, we still don't know everybody that was involved and who took PEDs. How about the NFL Hall of Fame? Do we know everyone that has taken
PEDs? We look the other way
PEDs.
In the NFL, Mark.
We certainly do.
We look the other way when it comes to the NFL Hall of Fame. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Take a look at guys in the 70s, maybe even into the 80s. Ugh. Yeah, I don't think we want to go down that road. 319-366-1600. Texts are welcome on the Hertina Stocker Jeweler text line. Keep them coming.
Our friend Ryan in Walford, Rivera was well-deserving. I was glad to see it was unanimous. You knew what was coming as a hitter, and there was nothing you could do about it. For Trout to be unanimous, he will need to win a World Series or two.
Yeah, and I've always been of the judgment that I don't think it matters if you win a World Series.
Did Tony Gwynn win one?
Oh,
I have to look.
Now we're going to have to look. Look it up, baseballreference.com, Mark. Before the before our listeners text in on that. Tony Gwynn was...
I'm thinking he did.
Tony Gwynn and George Brett were the two greatest hitters I've ever seen. Along with Carew. I think you put Carew up there as well. But as far as a little bit of pop in there, you got George Brett. Tony Gwynn could just hit gaps all day long. And Rod Carew would just frustrate you by getting on base all the time, no matter how he had to do it. Opposite field, a little blooper, whatever the case may be. You find it yet?
Tony Gwynn was in two World Series, 1984 and 1998.
Lost in 84.
And did not win either.
Ah, there you go. Made a couple, though. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. Mark Ironside set to join us.
Don't try to take me down, Ironside.
Take you down. Get him in a cow catcher. Throw him right down. We'll talk with Mark. John Bonenkamp's going to join us in the back half of the show as well. It is Gym Class here on KGYM at 3:20. Back with more after this.
We were naive about all things money.
And we've maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at DuPaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through DuPaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that DuPaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at DuPaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Play football.
Play quarterback.
Check, Blue 89.
Alexa, play KGYM.
Play baseball.
Play shortstop.
Alexa, play KGYM.
Play volleyball.
Play the net.
Alexa, play KGYM.
Your smart speaker is your home radio now, so just say, Alexa, play KGYM to listen to the Gym Class, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, or area high school and college sports. Play ball! Play KGYM.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, you'll find more than just comfortable furniture. You'll discover a no-pressure shopping experience, thousands of options, and free design services. We call it Comfort Redesigned. It's the Super Weekend Sale. Friday through Monday, save 30% on everything, plus special financing available, and get guaranteed delivery on in-stock items in time for the big game. Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Live life comfortably. Minimum monthly payments with approved credit. Order by 1/28/19. See store for details.
You guys want to do it?
Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Back in the Gym Class, KGYM at 3:23. And time to talk some college wrestling with you. Mark Ironside set to join us.
What kind of walk-up music is that?
I don't know. It just came up, man. You know, you like little Dexy's Midnight Runners here?
Not so much.
All right, well, kill it. Mark Ironside here, and his appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. Plenty to talk about as far as Hawkeye wrestling is concerned. DeSanto is Big Ten Wrestler of the Week. after his performance against Rutgers last week.
Very deserving. I mean, the kid had a pretty darn good match, made it exciting, won at the end. You know, it was kind of a weird match, you know, with Siriano giving up three stall calls, the first one being a double stall warning, which I haven't seen in a really long time. But I knew right when they called that double stall warning that that was going to come back and haunt somebody as that match goes on, because they were going to forget about that one and forget they had that. And Siriano, I don't know what he was thinking. Like, there was a time in there where he got called for not returning DeSanto to the mat, which is a terrible rule, by the way, because Caleb Young got called on that at the same thing as well, too. And Caleb Young literally tried picking the guy up three times and returning him and just couldn't do it. I mean, it's not like he wasn't trying. He was trying as hard as he could and gets dinged for stalling because the guy's so tall and he's having a hard time getting around, get his hips under or whatever. The guy's doing a good job. It was good wrestling.
Why is it so important to return the guy to the mat?
Just because of what happened in Siriano-Santos match. The guy comes up to his feet, and DeSanto comes up to his feet, and Siriano's not trying to return him. He's just trying to
hang on,
you know, get some riding time. You can lock your hands and you're on the feet, and it's hard to get away from that position. So instead of penalizing, you know, one type of wrestler that in that particular situation is stalling and just calling that guy for stalling, let's just go ahead and penalize everybody. If you don't return them in 5 seconds, whether you're trying to return them or not, if you don't return in 5 seconds, hey, it's a stall call. And it's such a BS call. I don't understand. I don't get it. It was great for DeSanto, it worked out, you know, because Siriano was in the position where he was stalling. He was using it to try and use it his advantage. But then you got a guy like Caleb Young who's doing everything he can possibly do, trying to return the guy to mat. Can't get him returned to the mat. You know, and he probably would have in about 7-8 seconds. And then, bam, he gets called for stalling. It's dumb. But anyway, Siriano didn't do himself any favors there and allowed us to get two stall calls for points. And then with a big takedown at the end there, DeSanto with a great shot, but even a better finish. And that's what sealed the deal. And knowing how much time was left, and when he hit that, it was so crisp, so hard. And he didn't sit and hold. It was a quick finish. Drove through. I mean, it was just picture book perfect. It was great to see. And, you know, and DeSanto, he could, you know, they're working on it, his celebration at the end. I mean, he got another team point deducted, which, you know, I'm not for that type of stuff at all whatsoever. I wasn't, you know, we did the same thing against Lezak, you know, but they're aware of it. You know, Tom ran out and Matt immediately grabbed a hold of him. And it's not something where if anybody knows Austin, he's not like that every day walking around. He's a very, very quiet kid, keeps to himself, calm, but the kid likes to wrestle and he gets into it and he gets wrapped up in it emotionally, and that was both those have been huge wins, and that's a big win at the buzzer. And then he just kind of his emotions take
he's
over.
Emotional,
very, and they're trying to keep that in check. And the good thing was DeSanto said even in the paper, or in his quotes in his post match interview, was that Siriano didn't do anything to him. He didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve me screaming at him like that. And he apologized. And it just, you kind of get caught up in the emotion. And that's just, you know, that's sports a lot of times, you know, and especially in wrestling in a situation like that, when you, and especially two in Rock and Arena, and all of a sudden everybody's going crazy and going nuts and stuff like that. So it is what it is. Great win. Now he's got a big old target on his back, and I don't think he's one to really even know that that's there. He just keeps moving forward and plugging away, and he just working on trying to capture that national championship. He doesn't look, you know, where he's ranked, who he's beat, or anything like that. Just working on improving every day and being part of the team and something, being something part of something great.
The thing about DeSanto is that 2 weeks in a row now, opponents know it, and maybe they'll egg him on. And makes it more important for him to get that in check, I think.
It will. The thing was, I was kind of surprised is when he was yelling right at Siriano.
Yeah.
Siriano got up and didn't retaliate at all. He just kind of brushed it off like he just expected it, not a big deal. Siriano was more so upset that he got taken down, but he didn't let DeSanto's you know, reaction get to him, and they didn't start, you know, jawing at each other or anything like that. So, you know, it depends on the you know, kind of the character of the person that you're wrestling, you know, to answer your question, Mark. I think that, you know, yeah, maybe somebody might look at it that way and try kind of getting him going and whatever and egg him on a little bit, but I don't think it'll be everybody. And hopefully DeSanto doesn't get kind of wrapped up and caught up into it either.
You've told us before that you expect Rutgers at some point to maybe elevate itself to that upper crust of college wrestling, because in New Jersey, so many very good wrestlers, they're not there yet. This is a very solid win for Iowa.
Yeah,
I thought.
Yeah, for sure. It was a good win for Iowa. I mean, what do we lose? I think two matches,
yep.
Yeah. You know.
And one of the number two guy in the country.
Right. And so Rutgers, they're coming along. They got a good staff. They got a good program. I think one thing right now that they're working on building a new wrestling room and facility.
Yeah.
And I think once that is done, I think then that's really going to help their recruiting quite a bit. Their wrestling facility now and the wrestling room now is probably worse than 75% of the high school rooms out there. It's one of the worst. I guarantee you it's probably one of the top five worst college wrestling rooms in the country.
So what they're doing with the facilities they have right now and going up against, you know, Penn State next door,
right,
is pretty remarkable.
It is. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, I think that what they're doing right now, they got a good nucleus of wrestlers to, you know, choose from out there and work with out there and so forth. And I think if anything, it's going to help the rest of the country. The better Rutgers gets, is a lot of it's going to be because they're going to be pulling away some of those recruits that Penn State might be getting, you know, has been getting over the last, you know, 7-8 years, and they're just going to even out the playing field a little bit.
Yeah. Stoll wrestled.
Stoll did wrestle. He came out. He got a takedown per period. He got riding time. He looked good. He looked really good. You know, he's still not 100%, and I don't think, you know, that he will be, and it's just the way it is. It's kind of, I think they're just in a situation to where, you know, it's either you just kind of go out there and do the best you can type of situation, you know, and that's where they're at. And I think that, you know, maybe this weekend they'll probably give him one out of two matches, and I don't know. I'm just speculating, you know. We got two matches on the road this weekend to give him one out of two, just get him on the mat again, or maybe give him the first one, make it, you know, let him decide if he wants to go that second one too, see how his knee's holding up, how he's feeling, and kind of go from there. So they got a big one coming up the following weekend in Nebraska against Jensen. I think it's Jensen or Jansen. Tough, tough heavyweight on top. Really tough on top. So we want to try and keep as healthy as possible for that one if he wrestles against him.
Two meets this weekend, Illinois Friday night, Northwestern Sunday afternoon. And the highlight of the weekend for me will be, and the question mark for me will be, whether Northwestern will put Rivera on the mat against Lee on Sunday, knowing that Rivera's already beaten Lee.
I don't think they're going to.
You don't?
I don't think they're going to.
I think they're going to. I think they're going to, because they look at it as an opportunity Northwestern to really kind of spark their program. To really, I think they're going to build it up. I think it's going to put a lot of people in the stands for this dual meet. I think it's really important to their program to have a matchup like this and to put all those people in there and to bring everybody in there and to make a big, big deal out of this. And it's what Northwestern really, really needs. And then to not wrestle him, I think that'd probably leave a pretty sour taste in all the fans' mouths, and when they leave and they go there and they may not want to go again because of a situation like that. I think 95% sure that they're gonna wrestle him.
Well, do you start with him though? Do you start with that match or do you draw?
Oh, I think it'd be cool if they start at 33 and make that, yeah, the last match of the night.
I think that they will start at 125.
Okay.
I really do.
Just to get that mojo going, if, yep, he goes out there, has a chance to beat Spencer Lee.
Yep, yep. I think that they look at it as, you know, Spencer in the past, he's gotten tired, you know, conditioning's been a factor, and they want to try and get him as soon as they can, right off that 1 hour weigh-in, and so they want to get at him right away. And I think that'll, you know, try and work into their favor. That's probably what they're thinking. So I just hope after that match is over that half the crowd doesn't leave.
True.
And whoever is going, they better not be late. So, because that's a very good chance that that's going to be the first match right out of the gate.
Last year, Illinois wrestled Iowa to a one-point match, but granted, the circumstances were much different. The lineups were much different. What do you think about the Illini this year?
They got some good guys in their lineup. They're just, you know, they're just kind of even keel throughout their lineup. They don't have a whole ton. I think it's going to be some great matches. It's a great opportunity for us at 141 pounds for Murin to take on the number four ranked guy, Carr. Mike Carr is only a sophomore, 7-2 record. That's a match that we could get. That would be a great, great match for Max Murin to go out and knock off a top five opponent. And he should be chomping the bit and so excited right now to be able to have this opportunity, come Friday night. So the other rest of the lineup, and then they got 184 pounds. Same thing with Cash Wilkie. You know, we're ranked, I think, 14th there. They're ranked number two with Emery Parker. That's a good one for Cash Wilkie to go in there and have an opportunity to also knock off a top five opponent. We could go in there. We could win. We could win all 10 weights. We really could. I don't look at rankings and never really have, but I have full confidence and belief that if a guy like Cash Wilkie goes out and competes and wrestles up to his ability, he could beat that number two ranked Emery Parker. I really, really believe that. But if he goes out and he kind of just stands around and lets it come down to one takedown or whatever and so forth, then, you know, you're not probably going to pull that one out. So you got to go out and you got to let the fur fly and get after it. And at least when you walk off the mat, it should be every single time that you gave everything you had, you know, you just weren't the better wrestler that day, and it just wasn't your day. But you know what? You gave everything you had. You didn't hold anything back, and you don't have to have no regrets later. You know, leave it all on the mat, and that's what a guy like Cash Wilkie has to start doing a little bit more of, even in his wins. You know, I mean, winning like a 6-2 type of match that we could be winning major. That could easily be major decisions, easily.
Couple texts on the text line for you, Mark. I don't know if you can answer this, but 1728, any idea why Gavin Teasdale is transferring from Penn State?
I don't know the actual reasoning, no. But I do know that Gavin Teasdale, he's a handful, and his dad's a handful. You know, he decommitted from Iowa and went to Penn State in the first place. And from what I hear, it wasn't like a huge loss for us when he did that, you know. Even though it looked like a huge loss on paper, hey, you know what? It's not really that big of a deal. It's one that's actually probably a big headache that, you know, we don't have to deal with here. And then Penn State had to deal with it. Now look at the situation that they're in. So I don't know exactly what the reasoning is behind it, you know, whether it's grades, you know, it could be academics. I don't know. But I do know that he is no longer there.
You're getting some baggage if you take him on the program.
For
you're
sure.
Saying.
Yep. That's what it sounds like. And it's not just him. It's just, you know, kind of, you know, from here to just like, you know, just over kind of one of them over crazy parents and so forth and stuff like that, you know, too. So there's just a lot that comes with that. And, you know, he didn't pan out like they thought he was going to pan out. So that actually might possibly leave opening there for Iowa Fort Dodge native Brody Teske, who's out there at 125 pounds right now. So I doubt they'll probably bring him out this year yet, but for next year in the future, that really leaves a good opportunity for him to possibly wear the singlet.
Question, maybe easier for you to answer, Mark, 8386. Why does Lee get tired?
I think it's a multiple different reasons. You know, I think we've talked about them all before, basically, is that, you know, early on in the season, you know, he was sick. Not to make any excuses, but he was sick. He was really sick. And it took him a while to kind of bounce back from that. So he was off the mat. When you're sick, it's not like you're just sick for a day. He was sick for quite a while, not on the mat. your blood cells, your blood count gets way, way, way down, and you lose a lot of it. It's almost like having mono. It takes a lot to build that back up. Then the other thing is he goes out, and a lot of his matches, he ends a match in the first 30, period.
30 seconds.
You know? 38 seconds.
You know, he actually had that guy on his back before that, and I was like on the radio, I'm happy he got off. I'm
it was
happy
10 seconds. It was 10 seconds.
I was glad that we did pin him, and then all of a sudden, it's like 15 seconds later, well, I guess we didn't really make it last a whole lot longer. I wanted to see him go a little bit longer, you know. No, but just need to get him more mat time. It was the same thing last year, too. He struggled last year at the beginning of the season, and as the season progressed, his condition got better and better and better, and I think that you'll see that as well, too, throughout this season. A perfect opportunity for not just him but the entire team is to have a weekend like what we have right now to where we're weighing in and we're wrestling Friday, Sunday. And that's what we used to have, is a lot of Friday, Sundays. This year we don't have many. We didn't have one last weekend. We didn't have one the week before. We don't have one next weekend. It's Nebraska only, I believe. So we don't have a lot of Friday, Sundays. Those Friday, Sundays are great opportunities to, you know, get on the mat quickly and rebound or continue to progress and weigh in. And your body's getting in a routine. And that's what I think that we might be lacking a little bit of this year, is just not having that. And we had, you know, the long break, you know, before the Midlands, and then a long break after the Midlands, and we just need more mat time. And that's why I was saying before, I think that, you know, after this swing and then after Nebraska the following weekend, I think that you're going to see a team that's set in a pretty good routine. The conditioning is going to be pretty good. I think you're going to see a team that's firing on all cylinders and a much better and improved team than where we were the first of the year.
Now, what? Maybe you have other questions related to wrestling, but last week you said you had a surprise for me in regards to the Polar Plunge.
Yeah, you're a big
Ghost fan,
right?
Which is coming up. No!
No?
No, Kyle is. Todd
you
is.
Are.
I thought you were a big Cubs fan,
Twins.
Too. Oh, no. Well, who do you like in the National League?
I don't care.
Oh. Well, then don't worry about it. It's not a big surprise for you.
But get your donations in for the Polar Plunge.
If you're a Cubs fan, I'm going to have a big, big surprise and a great opportunity for you come. Well, it's going to be the plunge, but even a bigger opportunity come May. So because of this. So I know
I don't dislike
kinda,
the Cubs. Can you go a little further then if
no,
I say that?
No, not right now. So, but we do need some pledges, that's for sure. We're definitely down this year. I'm down this year. I'm in second place right now by like $100. If anyone would like to pledge me, that'd be great. HWCPlunge.com. That's HWCPlunge.com. You know, it's going to be big. I think before I was thinking we're probably going to have to do the pool again this year because the ice isn't going to be thick enough. But now I'm thinking we might be in the pond. We're going to be jumping in the pond. I think the ice is going to be pretty thick after this week. So
there you go.
It's like, oh, my gosh. So I guess that it gives me one good reason to keep eating donuts and stuff and building up my body fat, you know, my winter weight.
I've got some cookies in the kitchen.
What's the website, Mark?
HWC. HWCPlunge.com. HWCPlunge.com.
Yep, check it out. All right, have fun on the road this weekend. Win some Uno games.
Hey, we're going to probably get intense.
I know. Mark Ironside joining us courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance on Johnson Avenue, Northwest and Cedar Rapids. We'll come back. John Bonenkamp's going to join us. Going to get you an extra point. It's brought to you this hour by Brick Alley in Uptown Marion.
How do you after work? How about 20 beers on tap, a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating, and happy hour from 3 to 6? Yeah, that's the way you after work. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion, it's the place to go with the crew. Catch some sports, blow off steam with darts or a game of pool, and take a load off. They have two rooms available for holiday party rentals, too. After work at Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
ESPN Radio Extra Point with Will Kane.
As much as I think this is absolutely a ding on the integrity of the game, as much as I understand New Orleans Saints fans' righteous outrage today, he can't do it. He can't just change the outcome of the game. He can't pull them back on the field on this Wednesday evening. How's your schedule on Thursday, boys? Could we get on the field Thursday, say 8 o'clock, quick two-minute game? Can you imagine Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Aaron Donald, suiting up for 2 minutes to replay the game from that moment in time? I understand that That moment impugns the integrity of the game. But how much would it impugn the integrity of the game to pull him back on the field for 2 minutes?
Get more from Will Cain today from 3 to 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, or just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is Adam Schefter, host of the Adam Schefter Podcast. As we inch closer to the Super Bowl, the Adam Schefter Podcast is your weekly pass inside the world of the NFL, from interviews with players, coaches, and executives to conversations with some of the top insiders in the business. If you're a fan of the National Football League, this is the podcast for you. You can listen and subscribe to the Adam Schefter Podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When you're always on the go, what would you prefer? An office phone system?
Hey, it's Rochelle. Sorry I missed you earlier. Had an errand to run, but I'm back in the office, so give me a call when you get this.
Or one that works on your cell phone. No hardware needed, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Oh, one sec. It's a business call. Hi, this is Rochelle with WayForward Partners. How can I help?
There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
Now, get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Back in the gym class in KGYM, our thanks to Mark Ironside for stopping by and joining us. And we go from Mark Ironside to friend of the show, John Bonenkamp from the Burlington Hawkeye. Covers all things Hawkeyes, all things Western Illinois, all things Southeast Iowa high school sports. He was probably wondering what he was going to do last night as well. I will ask you this, John. Good afternoon, first of all.
And how's it going?
Good, good. Who had the worst day yesterday? And I think you did.
Oh, yeah.
But my snowblower decided to take a hike in the middle of this. But, you hurt yourself, so I think you win.
Oh, yeah. It was a pretty good bonk. So, but the CT scan found nothing in my head, which usual. So
nothing in your head?
We're okay. We're ready to roll.
Tomorrow night is a much anticipated game for a lot of reasons, John. And there's been a lot of big games at Carver Hawkeye Arena, but this one's really big.
Yeah, I do think it is, and I think I think some of it is to at least the way the fan base is right now. But because it seems like a lot of people are just kind of waiting for something bad to happen with this team. So I think for Iowa tomorrow night, when you go back to that game from back in December, when they lost the way they did in that game, tomorrow is a big game, I think, in the sense of they've got to play well in that game to show everybody that this team is really a lot better now than what it was then. So from that standpoint, yeah, I think it's a huge game tomorrow night.
Why is it better? Is it defense or a multitude of things?
I think it's defense, but I also think it's guys have just gotten to – I think they've just grown. And, I asked Fran McCaffrey that question, hey, what's the difference between then and now? And he said that they were farther along in the process of where they are as a team than they were back in early December. And I do think that does make a big difference. I think Luke Garza is playing much better now than he was in early December. I think Joe Wieskamp, he said when he played before he got hurt in that game, you know, that was his first real road game, and you know, it was a different experience for him. Now he's got a few of those games under his belt. He's got a lot of big games under his belt, really, here. And, you know, so I mean, I think it's just the fact that they are farther along right now as a team. And you said that about defense. I do believe that. I do believe this team is a lot better defensively than it was back in early December and late November, and that will stretch their games.
John, this game's got a lot of steam nationally tomorrow. A lot of people talking about it, a lot of people writing about it out there. So it definitely has the national attention.
Is Raftery here?
Raftery will be here tomorrow.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like you said, I mean, it's an FS1 game. I mean, it's a, you know, I mean, I think people are interested in seeing this Iowa team because, you know, you think back to early January and the way they got blown out against Purdue, and they haven't lost since then. And they've played well in a lot of those games, and they've shook off the road streak they've had. You know, and I mean, you can just see that this team is a lot different now than what it was, you know, from early December, even late December when Luka Garza was out. I just think it's a better team right now. And I think people want to see how they're going to do. This is a really big test for them, I think.
You mentioned Joe Wieskamp. You've seen Joe for a long, long time. And he's just, not that he didn't have a good start to his career, but, you know, he had a couple of those games where he looked like freshman. But he's got things steadied right now. And we talked about this the other day, that he could almost be called the X factor of this team. When he goes well, Iowa really goes well.
Yeah, and I mean, you can see the maturity in this kid. I remember I saw him as a junior in high school, and he was playing against Burlington. It was the second time he'd played him this year. That year, he'd scored like, you know, 50-some points against him. And that night, he was like trying to get other teammates involved. And rather than, okay, I scored 50 in the last game, I'm going to score more this time. You know, so, I mean, you can see even, you know, a couple years ago just how mature his game was. And he really has shown that this year in the way he plays. He's not afraid to take the big shot they need. You know, go back to the Northwestern game when they needed shots in that second half after they fell down 7. He's the one that got them. And you're right, when he gets going, they play really well. And, you know, so I think he learned a lot from that game in Michigan State in the time he was in there. And I think it'll translate. And I think it was a good lesson for him. And I think he's really learned from that as the season's gone on.
In order for Iowa to get the W, John, which W you need to contain most, Ward or Winston?
I think Ward. I don't think you can let him have the game that he had the last game. I mean, and that goes back to, you're going to have to stop them in transition. You can't let them run on you. You've got to get back. You've got to play defense. You can't let him get easy shots. So to me, that's the bigger thing tomorrow night is how they handle him. And I think they're in a little better place right now to handle him than they were back in early December, just because I think they're that much farther along in their defense.
It's got to be an advantage for Iowa. Michigan State has played an NBA schedule this week. Just played a couple days ago. Now they got to go on the road. Iowa's had a little time off. You gotta take advantage of that if you're the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I think you have to battle them tomorrow night. You cannot shrink. You know, you can't let them get a run. You can't let them do things. You have to play 40 minutes against them, and you know, and I mean, you've got to push them tomorrow night because they're going to be pushed this whole week, and it's a chance for you. You've got to, like you said, a little bit of an opportunity. So you've got to really push them tomorrow night and try to do some things. Don't be tentative. They can't be tentative in this game tomorrow night.
I know, John, you wrote about this, and a guy, Isaiah Moss, who I think has impressed all of us the last handful of games. No, he's probably not going to shoot, and Iowa's not going to shoot like it did last time out. But he's been very smooth and very consistent, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that he can get you, you know, two or three three-pointers in a row. You know, he really scores in bursts. And, you know, but I think he's also become a little bit more consistent in his game rather than doing that all at once and then disappearing. You know, he's been able to do that in both halves. So, again, going back to what I was saying about how this team has grown, you can see how he's grown this year as a player. He's a lot more consistent from beginning to the end of the game. You know, there's been some games probably where he should have played a little bit more, but for the most part, I think he's been very solid for them, and he's become more consistent, and I think that's a big part of his game right now.
This team did what it had to do over the last couple of weeks, and that was win 5 in a row, go on the road, win at Penn State. The big come from behind win against Northwestern. Things get a little dicier now as far as the schedule is concerned. You got to keep up this momentum. I mean, even if you lose to Michigan State, you got to go to Minneapolis then on Sunday, and then Michigan comes calling. So you can't let down.
Yeah, you can't put all your eggs in this basket tomorrow night. You know, I mean, when like you said, because you still got to go on the road and play at Minnesota. You've got a really, really good Michigan team coming in here next Friday, and then you go to Indiana, which is, I mean, a team that's struggling right now, but it's a tough place to play. So, you know, this is a key stretch for them. They've put themselves in a position here. I mean, they're in that top five, top six of the Big Ten. You know, can they get into that top four? Get to the Friday game and at the Big Ten tournament? Can you do some of those things? So this is a crucial stretch for them. I think it's to see where they're at right now as a team. They, like you said, they've done everything they needed to do. They've taken advantage of every opportunity they've won on the road. They've won without Tyler Cook. They've done some of those things. Now let's see what they can do against the best in the Big Ten, plus a couple of really tough road games. This is a key stretch, really, I think, to see where they're at and to see where they go the rest of the way.
Sticking around for the women's game tonight?
Yeah. You know, and that'll be an interesting one, too. I mean, again, that's, you know, Rutgers comes in Big Ten leader, you know, and I think everybody needs to get to see Megan Gustafson play, and I think they need to go out and see her play in the next few games when they're at home. And so this would be a good one tonight to get out to see, because I think it's going to be a really good game. You got to see Vivian Stringer coming back. Great story. Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun game tonight.
Yeah, it is. And there are only a handful of times and opportunities to see Megan Gustafson play for the rest of her career in Iowa City.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the number. We were talking about this today with somebody. I said, you look at the numbers she's piled up. I don't think anybody will ever do that again here. You know, I think that she's a once-in-a-lifetime player, and I think, you know, people really need to get out and see her play and appreciate what she's done and what she can do in the next few weeks.
Well, it's a great time of the year. You got basketball getting to the halfway point. Dodgers are going to be going to spring training soon. Racing,
yep.
Chili Bowl was last weekend, so racing's underway. So you got all the boxes checked, man.
Oh yeah, it's a fun. I love February. February's great. You know, the spring training starts. Stratomatic cards come out. February's a big month. It's one of my favorite months.
Just remember to put the ice melt in your bag, okay?
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm going to be doing. I'm going to start wearing spikes and.
I wish we all could be wearing spikes and on a golf course soon, but
that's the other thing too. I'm ready for that.
Yeah. Hey, John, appreciate it. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
All right. Have a good one. See
John,
you later.
John Bonenkamp from the Burlington Hawkeye joining us. Talk a little Hawkeye sports with you here on KGYM. We'll take a break. Come back. Get you ready for Bowling Night in America after this.
Couples strolling arm in arm would stop to see the display, pointing at the sparkling beauties inside, and little ones would lean in eagerly to see the wonders within. As the decades have passed, the colors behind the glass have changed from gold to silver to platinum and back again, moving with the years, reflecting current trends and classic style. The windows at Hertine & Stalker Jewelers have always been a centerpiece in downtown Iowa City, something to look forward to and share. And now, those windows are even bigger and more wondrous. The Dickens family will create even more beautiful displays with diamonds, colored stones, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, and rings. So come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertine & Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Want to use your unique skill set to solve real-world technological problems? Apply at Herzog. Herzog is a family-owned railroad services provider in eastern Iowa. Our unique expertise in both the railroad and software industries puts us at the forefront of emerging safety technology. And we're hiring software engineers, systems engineers, and GIS technicians to continue making our industries safer and more efficient. Are you a problem solver? Interested in working with a team of like-minded people? Then get more info and apply at herzog.com/careers.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Ah, yes, it's Wednesday. It may have snowed 6 inches or so, 8, depending on where you are in eastern Iowa. It does not matter. Bowling Night in America goes on, doesn't it?
It matters not in my career. I can remember only once, maybe twice, where bowling was postponed.
Yeah, that just doesn't happen.
Lanes 21 and 22 tonight, the Rusty Nails. You're on, I'm not. Facing the defending league champion, Barry's Lanes, happened to be two games ahead of us in the standings this year, so a chance for you guys to do some damage.
Chance.
But
they always bowl well against us.
A lot of people bowl well against us. They like to get on the Thursday segment of the gym class,
they
I think.
They do. I think they do.
Week 20, weeks are dwindling. We need to make a move.
Need to make a move. Started last week. Last couple weeks we've done all right, so we'll see if we can keep it up tonight. Lots of open bowling opportunities. Globe Bowling, as you heard, Pro Shop is available as well.
362-0136, the number, maycitybowlcr.com is the website.
You and I at Southern Illinois tonight on the FMs. Iowa State women at Baylor, a tough one tonight at 1600 a.m. They both start at 7 o'clock. Talk to you tomorrow.
You travel a lot, don't you?
Well, in business, yes. In basketball, never.
Well, if you're traveling.